My name is Dan, and I'm from Baltimore.
My name is Ellen, and I'm from Baltimore.
My name is Avrielle, and I'm from Baltimore.
Sometimes church planters say they're in the business of starting something from nothing.
But that's not really true. We're able to do missions today because of the generations who came before us.
We Southern Baptists are all part of a family tree. Come to my city, and you can see just how deep the roots of that tree go.
In Baltimore, those roots go back to at least 1850. That's when Annie Armstrong was born.
Right down the street from our church plant, that's where Miss Annie lived and worked.
She didn't invent Southern Baptist missions, but she did change how we do missions.
Baltimore is where Annie led the way in forming the Women's Missionary Union.
It's where she helped launch the offering that funds Southern Baptist mission work around the world.
And it's also where she helped launch the offering that funds Southern Baptist mission work inside North America.
Before Annie Armstrong died, Southern Baptists named that offering after her.
Now, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering helps put people like me on the mission field.
I live in the same city as Annie Armstrong, but I don't live in the same world.
She wrote letters, I do Facebook.
She supported a handful of missionaries, we support thousands.
Obviously, not much is left of the Baltimore or the world that Annie knew.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
I'm a descendant of Annie Armstrong.
And you are too. You don't have to live in Baltimore to be part of her family.
If you're Southern Baptist and you're praying, giving, going so that others might know Jesus, you're on that family tree.
You are a descendant of Annie Armstrong, and that means you have her DNA.
Annie Armstrong had a passion for people, for missions, and for Jesus.
And we owe it to those who came before us and to those who come after us to keep that passion strong.
Annie Armstrong built something big for future generations.
And now God wants to use us to do the same thing.
It's up to me and my generation.
It's up to me and my generation.
It's up to me and my generation to do whatever it takes, just like Annie.
Just like Annie.
Just like Annie.
Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing Hosanna?
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Alleluia to the King of Kings, Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Amen. You can have a seat.
Well, welcome. It's getting into what we call Passion Week. So I'm glad that y'all are all here today. And a lot of interesting stuff today. Today's service will be a little bit longer because we are observing the Lord's Supper. And so that's a big part of our service today. So we're glad that you'll be a part of that. And Annie Armstrong, you know about that. But, you know, the DNA we have isn't Annie's. I mean, that was a good video. It was put together. It's Jesus. All right. Annie did what she did because of Jesus was in it, was in her heart. And so it's about Jesus. We're like Jesus. We're like Jesus. But, hey, Barefoot in the Park, May 4th is coming up quick. There's a sign-up table, and if you'd take a tray, and if you plan to be a part of that, it's a fun time. If you haven't been to one, where we have church on Sunday morning, but the church doesn't meet in this building. The church meets out at the Blue Angel Navy Recreation Area. It's a fun morning of hamburgers. The youth are going to lead us in worship, and it's a fun time. You wear flip-flops and shorts. Well, you can do that now, but definitely we want you to do it then. Men, final meeting, call to prayer today at 4:30, and we have a sunrise service next week, and to make sure that it won't be just me there. Pam is bringing donuts. So come join us for some donuts and coffee as we celebrate that. We have a few people having surgeries this week, so look in your prayer guide. Be praying for them. And if y'all be praying for Jim, as he's still in Houston, and be praying for Mike. He taught Sunday school, and he's going over to Biloxi, where his daughter is having some issues and just been put in the hospital. So be praying about that. But welcome. Welcome today, and let's go ahead. And what we're going to do now is, I forgot what we're supposed to do now. If our church family would stand, and if you're a guest, we ask for that you would sit. We'd like to come and greet you. And with that, we'll go into our fellowship song.
I'm still talking Carmen into playing, but the youth.
Sing along with us.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. You can have a seat.
All right. I don't know about you, but life can get kind of hectic. And it just happens, and next thing you know, it's Sunday, and you wake up, and next time you know, it's time to go to bed, and just things get busy, things get hectic. And even Sunday mornings, they can be crazy. But this is where we come to a point where we're just going to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, and we call it our prayer of confession, and we're going to breathe out. We're going to focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Confess to Him who He is. Confess to Him who we are. And let's just take a moment and do that together. Father in heaven, Lord, we come all here. It's very possible, sadly, for maybe different reasons. Lord, I pray that you would bring us together in one accord, not because of wanting to see friends, wanting to see family, not because this is what we've done for every Sunday morning for all our life. It's not because we're afraid of what people will think if we don't come to church, or we're just checking the box. Well, I pray that you You would change our hearts to where we'd be unified, to come here in one accord, to worship you. To worship you. Father, none of us come here perfect. And as we know, and as we're about to look at your word, pray, Lord, you'd cleanse us, creating us a clean heart. Lord, if there's anything that's in our lives that are separating us from you, pray, Lord, you'd convict us of that. Lord, as we look at your truth and song that we're about to participate in, as we look at the word today from 1 Corinthians and others, convict our hearts today, Lord. Draw us to be the people that you would have us be. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just sing this prayer directly to the Lord.
Lord, we want to know you. Live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart.
Do that one more time.
Lord, we want to know you. Live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers of your heart.
Amen. We are seekers of his heart. Would you stand with me if you're able, and as we continue in music worship of the Lord, I'm going to sing this Room at the Cross.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. The millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. No millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
The cross is what it's all about. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus shed his blood. He set an example for us of how to live. Died so that he is life to us. He knew we'd never make it on our own, and he loved us enough to give up his own life for that. So it is the cry of my heart to follow him in the example he set for us. And I hope it is for you too. Thank you.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
It is the cry of my heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
Teach me your holy ways. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth.
Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
Amen. And as we are going to take communion, the Lord's Supper today, we want to remember what this is all about. So join me as we sing, "In Remembrance of Me, Eat This Bread, Drink This Wine."
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. In remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your brother in. Let him in. Take heed and be comforted. Drink and remember this is my body and precious blood shed for you, shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth. In remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look in your heart for God. Do this in remembrance of me.
You may be seated. Before I pray, a quick reminder, if you wish to donate to the Annie Armstrong Fund, there are envelopes in the pews. If you cannot find one specifically designated for Annie Armstrong, you can use any of the envelopes there and just write on the envelope Annie Armstrong. Let us pray. Lord, most precious and heavenly Father, at this time in our service, our worship to you, Lord, we remember all of the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, at this time, we wish to give back to you only a small portion of that which you give to us. Lord, may those funds that we collect be used in a way that furthers your kingdom here on earth. Lord, I ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, I ask these things in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus. Amen.
In the midst of the The next day, the great crowd that had gathered heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This crowd praised him. They celebrated his miracles and with great expectation told everyone about him. But they did not know him. They were waiting for someone who would rule with strength and might. But he came as a humble servant. They wanted him to finally bring their people glory. But he wanted to change them so their lives would bring God glory. They were expecting a general who would crush their enemies, but he came saying, "Love your enemies." They thought he could offer them deliverance from their oppressors, but he came offering deliverance from sin. This crowd would soon realize that Jesus wasn't gonna be what they wanted, and they turned on him before they ever realized he was what they needed. So as they yelled, "Crucify!" Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "I am not that kind of king. His kingdom isn't what you see here. It won't be established by chaos and war. His kingdom is in our hearts. His kingdom is truth. His kingdom is goodness. His kingdom is righteousness. He is the humble king, the king of healing, the king of forgiveness, the king of love. Today, we lift our voices. We cry, Hosanna, save us. Save us from our sin. Come dwell in our hearts. Hosanna, we worship you. Jesus Christ, our king."
Be your king today. Tell you, after the kids and after that song, if we can't be passionate about our God, he is an awesome God. I don't get moved much. Passion Week. Why do they call it Passion Week? Well, hello. Today, there's a lot. Today's Palm Sunday. It kicks off what we've known as Holy Week or Passion Week, and there's a tremendous amount that goes on to this week. I've included this week into your listening guide, the pink little insert there that goes through, and each day, today, Monday, Tuesday, through the rest of the week, goes through the Gospels and how and what Jesus did every day of what we know as the Passion Week. If you look at the different Gospels, you'll see that 20-30% of each of the Gospels is dedicated to this final week of Jesus' life. And there's a tremendous amount of just, I mean, you can preach the whole year just on Passion Week. And I'm going to need one of those tissues. Please forgive me. So, But out of all the things that are in Passion Week, what I wanted to focus on today was the Lord's Supper. It's something that we observe as an ordinance once a quarter, and it's something that was implemented by Jesus Christ. There are many technical and doctrinal views and concepts which we could explore about the topic, but today I chose to focus on the worship. And, you know, the Lord's Supper has come something that we do. We do honor it, and it's reverent, it's sacred. We keep it as holy as we know how. We focus on God. We cleanse ourselves. We pray. We seek Him through it. But what I wanted to do today is look at 1 Corinthians 11 and to observe how can the Lord's Supper, how can this communion time be an act of worship, and how is it worship? No, we celebrate the Lord's Supper just as the Israelites, the Jews, observed their traditional Passover feast. And if you if you know, the two themes are very similar. The Jews during Passover, they rejoiced that God had delivered them from their sin, and they looked forward to expectantly toward their future as God's children, as God's nation, as God's called people. But with the Lord's Supper, followers of Christ, His church, what we celebrate how Jesus has delivered us from sin. And when we look expectantly and hopefully towards eternal life. You know, we know the Lord's Supper too has different names. You may have heard it called the Last Supper. And we've heard it as communion. We've heard it as the Eucharist. You know, the name the Last Supper is kind of obvious. It was the Last Supper that Jesus would partake on the earth in His given present state. And then communion, you see that word, especially in the King James and then other places, you see that word translated as the participation or the sharing. But it all comes from the word koinonia, which means to fellowship, our togetherness with one another, and our togetherness with Christ. And then the Eucharist, it's a word that it's kind of out of context because it's really a word that's from Eucharisteo, which means thanks or blessing. There's actually in the Lord's Supper, there are four cups. And there is one cup that is called the cup of the blessing. And that is the third cup. And that is where the name the Eucharist comes from. But in our context of 1 Corinthians 11, what we're about to take a look at, the context here is that the First Corinthian church has been established, and they messed some stuff up. Can churches mess some stuff up? Amen. Thankful for God's word that straightens us out. And so Paul is giving corrections and instructions to correct some of these abuses and these misconceptions of the Corinthian church. If you would join me, please, in 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to look at today verses 23 through 34, and we'll work through those throughout the sermon. But in the beginning, we're going to read 23 through 25. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" Well, we worship, our first point of today's thing is we worship through the Lord's Supper as we remember what the Lord has done. That is the theme of the Lord's Supper, is remembrance. That's what we've sung about. That's what we've looked at. But we worship through the Lord's Supper when we remember. Well, what has the Lord done? What has He come? Well, we know from, and there's several verses today, jot them down, and we're just going to move through them. And I invite you to look at those later. I encourage you to look at those later. But they should come up on the screen first. We know that He came to save the world. That was his purpose. We see in John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." And then we see in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then next we see that He also came to be a ransom for many. In Matthew 20:28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, but to give His life as a ransom for many." And then we see, it's very interesting, in Luke 12:51, we see that He came to bring division. And hold on. It says, in Luke 12:51, it says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." What is this division? We talk about unity all the time. What is this division? Well, Jesus came. He defeated death through His own perfect, sinless life. He put it in the place of our shamefully sinful life. And it's through that He defeated death. And there came a, and there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time where Jesus is going to separate his people. And what he's talking about, this division, when he came and gave his life, he drew a line in the sand. He drew a line in the sand, and it's either those who choose him and those who do not. There will be no in between. It'll be those who have accepted him, that have surrendered their life and accept him as their Lord and Savior, and it will be those who will know him not. But he delivered us from sin, and if there's nothing else that we can look at in the worship that comes from the Lord's Supper, this would be enough to remember him. But next, let's. I want to read Philippians 2, 6 through 8, if you want to join me there. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. I know I may confuse y'all. There's some that I will use Scripture to support Scripture. And those I kind of move quickly through. But then there's points that I kind of want to take a moment on. But join me, if you will, in Philippians 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 8. Here it says, although he, and then what Paul is talking about here, he's talking about Jesus. So although Jesus existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is what he has done for us. Let us not forget what he has done. But next we see that we worship through the Lord's Supper as we commit to what he has done. We commit to him. Let's look at back in 1 Corinthians 11. Keep your finger there if you're following me, because we're going to go back there several times. But look at verse 25. We just read it. I was just recapping on this. And it says, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. It's the new covenant. And so what is this new covenant? First of all, what's in a covenant period? It's an agreement. It's agreement. It's like a contract where one party agrees to do something if the other party agrees to do something else. Let's look at Hebrews together. Remember, keep your spot in 1 Corinthians. Look at Hebrews together in chapter 8, verse 10. Here the author of Hebrews is quoting from the prophet Jeremiah. It says, for this covenant, this is the covenant that we are talking about, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now there are the whole idea of the covenant, the new covenant through Christ. There are books written on this, and to try to sum it all up into one scripture, it is difficult. But for our purposes today, we see that covenant here as simply as he will be our God, and we will be his people. But now think about it. If the things of God are written on our heart, And in our heart, is reflected out of our deeds. And then from our deeds, our lives, everything that we are as his people should reflect Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's not enough just to believe that he exists. The historians believe that he exists. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. We have many people who may believe that Jesus exists, that God exists, and they don't shudder. It's not enough. We are called to surrender. And let's take a look at Luke 9:23. Luke 9, verse 23. We're going to look through 26. Here it says, it's Jesus. And Jesus was saying to them all. Now listen, because I'm going to read slowly through it. Listen to it. These are the words of Christ. We like to candy wrap a lot of things and make it sound sweet. But listen to what Jesus says here. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. This is the terms of the contract, of the covenant. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. There's a covenant here. Followers of Christ, church, have we kept our end of that commitment? Do we even know the terms of the covenant that we say that we follow? Say, when we take the cup, in just a moment, when we take the cup, we are saying that we agree to our end of the covenant, to be His people, to live and be committed as people surrendered to the Lord. As His people, we've learned He's Adonai. He's our master. And the whole concept of that kind of surrender is often difficult, but if you study who He is as our master, we find out as we move into what may seem difficult and what doesn't make sense is when we begin to really truly understand the beauty of who He is. Next, we'll see that we worship through the Lord's Supper as we proclaim what the Lord has done. The next is proclaim. Let's look together back at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. It says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." It's a proclamation. It's, again, we're proclaiming what He has done. Consider all the things that we have just talked about and that we have read in Scripture. See, the gospel truth, if we're surrendered to Him and if we are His people and He is our God, the gospel truth should penetrate every part of our life. Every part of it. Every breath. And when we do stumble, because we will, there's that conviction that brings confession and repentance. And then again, we're on track with Him. Say, here in just a moment, we're gonna partake. And as we do, we're gonna remember what He did and we're gonna commit to the covenant of His blood. But we are also, it's gonna be a proclamation. We are agreeing that, hey, if we're going to partake in this and if we truly believe in this covenant and if we're truly going to remember all that He has done, it's going to be a part of every aspect of our life that is going to be used to proclaim His goodness, not in this place, but in your life as you go out. You know, to be a follower of Christ is not to be compartmentalized as an outline part of your life. Many of us might say, I'm a husband, or a wife, or I'm a father or mother, I'm a plumber, a golfer, a knitter. Oh yeah, and I'm a Christ follower. It's not where Christ is just a part of who we are. As a Christ follower, we're to be identified with Christ in every aspect of our life. Every part of it. Romans 6:11. Go ahead and jot these. I have four verses for you. Jot these down. Romans 6:11 says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." And then Colossians 3:4, the first part of that says, when Christ, who is your life, listen to what Paul said to the Colossians. He said, for Christ, who is your life? I tell you, if we are a follower of Christ, when it comes to our identity, to who we are, that we are a Christ follower who is a father. We are a Christ follower who is a wife. We are a Christ follower who is a plumber or a golfer. Everything we are is through Christ first. He is not just a part that we recognize on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. He's a part of our every moment when we wake up and when we lay down. To be anything else, church, would be hypocrisy. To be anything else and partake in this Lord's Supper in just a moment would remove it as an act of worship. I tell you, I argue even that if you were to take this cup and take the bread in just a moment, and you do not allow your commitment to be a proclamation and through the way you live, I would say that we would be taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Next point we see, we worship through the Lord's Supper as we, and there's two words here, I needed a helping verb, as we are restored by what the Lord has done. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at, we're still in 11, we're going to look through 27 through 32. It says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. We are restored. That's what this whole Lord's Supper is about, remembering what He's done. He has brought restoration. And we have to come to the table, not perfect, but we have to come to it with confession. We see in 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Here the Scripture just called us to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves rightly. Well, what does that mean? I think David in the Psalms describes it for us really well in Psalms 139 verse 23, where he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. In Psalms 51:10, we see that he also writes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. From those two verses, we see there, number one, it's what it means to examine ourselves and judge ourselves rightly. There's a searching. O God. There's a knowing where He knows our heart. Then we say, Lord, try me, where He said, Lord, and that's where we compare our heart to His. And then we say, there's the creation of a clean heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart. And then finally, there's a renewal. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. I tell you, when we humble ourselves in full submissions, we confess and we repent, there is restoration. And that is the beauty of what Christ has done for us, is this restoration. And our final point today is, we worship through the Lord's Supper as we fellowship because of what the Lord has done. Let's take a look at 11:33 through the end of the chapter. So it says, so then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. But here we see two phrases in this passage that we just read. It says, when you come together. The Lord's Supper isn't something that we sit around our own house and we do by ourselves. The Lord's Supper is supposed to be within the community, the covenant community of the body of Christ with the church. We also see the phrase, it says, wait for one another. A true fellowship, there is unity that's involved. It's when we come together because we are the body of Christ. You know, some may be thinking about the things we've looked at, the scriptures we've looked at, the songs we've sung. Maybe the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, you have some convictions, or maybe your own flesh and your own anxiety is beating yourself up right now as you're comparing it. And you're saying, Pastor, I fail at some of those points. You might be saying, Pastor, I fail at all the points. Every one of us. Well, He knows that. We know that. You know that. You may be thinking, I am unworthy of taking the bread, and I'm unworthy of taking the cup. But let me expand upon a message or a passage that I just read to you. Let's look together at 1 John. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I just read to you part of these. 1 John 1, 6 through 10. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and that Him is Jesus, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and this is what we're looking at, is He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Here we see that, first of all, this gives us hope. Remember how we talked about the Lord's Supper being called communion? The root, the Greek root of that is koinonia. That is the same word that we see here, this fellowship that we have with the Lord. To have fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another, in verse 9 it says we have to confess. If you're feeling less than able, less than qualified in your walk with Christ, that's all He's asked us to do is confess. This, not just to confess with the intent to go and do the same thing. If you're here in church tonight and you have plans to do things that you know that are not of the Lord, whatever they may be, then it's not a true confession. Or it may be a confession, but not true repentance. It's not a change that goes on inside your body. Okay, but true confession frees us from our sin to where we can enjoy, where we can truly find joy in life, and we can enjoy the fellowship that we can find only in Jesus Christ. Church, true confession, when we rightly judge ourselves, when we confess and we repent, is when we have truly taken a step toward worshiping the Lord through this communion, through this Lord's Supper. I tell you, it's a time that is sovereign, a time that should be reverent, but it's also a time in our heart that we should celebrate and worship that we can even come to this table. Because without it, without this restoration, without remembering what He has done, without what He has done, we would be doomed. You know, as Rhonda is coming and her team, I invite you today to make a decision to live a life of worship. I challenge you to make a decision to fully surrender your life to Christ. And I invite you, as she is going to lead us in a song of reflection as we prepare to serve the Lord's Supper, I invite you to pray. To spend that time just talking to your Lord. If you want to pray where you are, please do. If you want to come up front and pray, and we have this concept of if we come up front, there must be something wrong. There doesn't have to be something wrong for you to come up front. But then again, there's a concept too that if we're going to pray, it's got to be at the altar. And I tell you, in the New Testament, there's nothing that calls these altars. It calls them steps. But you're welcome to come and pray with your church, and somebody will come and pray with you. If you'd like to talk, if you'd like to share a decision with me, or you, maybe you have some questions, I'll be here. But at this time, may we reflect.
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives.
Would you stand and sing with us?
Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter, Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain
down. During the Lord's Supper today, we will be reading through Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. While they, the disciples, and Jesus were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples. Let's bless. Father in heaven, we come to you today, Lord, remembering what you have done. You've given your Son to die for our sins. And for this, we are truly thankful. For this, Lord, we commit to live our life in a way that's surrendered to you. And may it be a proclamation. And may it glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord.
And Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Church, let's take, eat, and remember. And when he had taken the cup, and given thanks, he gave it to them. Father in heaven, we come to you today, Lord, and as we take your cup, may we remember the covenant that you have made through your blood, the blood of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beside the broken bread, remember. know here, remind us you are always near. Help us to live our lives each day in love and faith, O Lord, we pray. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of
And Jesus said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Church, take, drink, and remember. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we love you. It's not because of the new thing that we just one day decided to do. It's because of the work that you've done to us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of our sin. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, Lord, that you have restored us. You have restored us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your blood that brings forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Then in verse 30 it says, after singing a hymn, they went out. So let's sing a hymn. That's our...
Would you stand with me? Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? How he loves you, oh, how he loves me, oh, how he loves you and me.
And have a great week. Take some time. Passion Week. What did Jesus do this week? And just read some of those scriptures. And just prepare your heart for the Easter, the Resurrection Day. What a great week. And may He be glorified in your life. All right.